Nothing to clue.
Why are you speaking like this?
Well, I want to match April's voice.
I'm trying to bring a little bit of calmness to what was not a very calm and
go gadget
movie.
Copter. Oh, are we going to do like an ASMR episode of the to talk about Inspector
no
Gadget?
No mouth sounds, please. That's the opposite of what ASMR is.
Go gadget. Fucking podcast.
Go gadget podcast. Yeah. All right. Well, we're talking about the 1999.
Yes.
Inspector Gadget, Disney's Inspector Gadget.
2 years before the towers fell, the world was privy to Inspector Gadget.
Oh, God.
2 years before Dana Carvey found out
turtles? Before he found out that he's not turtly enough for the Turtle Club.
Well, I was saying earlier that I think this movie is worse than Master of Disguise, and you know why? Dana Carvey is funnier than Matthew Broderick.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I got a big problem with Matthew Broderick in this movie.
Well, this is
manslaughter.
Well, that too.
A terrible driver. This was directed by. First of all, like I used to watch this show when I was a kid.
Me too.
Wait a minute.
So when did the show came out? Because I want to place Colin's age. Because so it was in syndication when me and April were watching it.
That's what April said, but the initial run was from 1983 to 1986.
I had no idea. I thought it was a 90s cartoon.
Well, do you know why it played so much when we were kids, April? Because it's considered Canadian content, thanks to Nelvana. So you have to hit that percentage so you could just throw Inspector Gadget in there.
It was Deke, but
the first season was animated by Nelvana, not the second season, though. So. I feel like it probably had enough of those points because I think they've really loosened that up, haven't they, on television and radio?
I don't know because I don't watch TV.
You need like
anymore,
a quota of Canadian content.
They play. The radio still plays like a ton of like tragedy.
Here's Sloan again.
And Sloan and Bare Naked Ladies and Nickelback. Wait, they're Canadian. Yes, they're Canadian. Sorry.
But yeah, I used to love the show as a kid. I don't know why, but I don't know. You know, Don Adams. He's not Canadian,
funny.
Is he?
Don Adams?
Yeah, from Get Smart.
I don't think so.
But he was in there was another Canadian show that he was in. I think it was called like Checkout. He was like the manager of like a grocery store.
This is a live action?
This is live action.
The King of Kensington.
Yeah, it was at that level.
Mm.
I can't remember anything.
Never watched Get Smart. That's way before our time.
That wasn't on TV.
Yeah, I never really got into that. It was only just like reruns when I was a kid and it didn't really appeal to me. But anyway, he's got a very recognizable voice.
Yeah, he's got a fun voice, and Inspector Gadget, I remember. I was saying, should we go back and watch an episode of it and see like what it's really like? Because I haven't seen it as an adult.
They're pretty fun. It's like one joke every episode, and that's
pretty much.
And it has like one of the best like opening credit sequences.
Oh, very
80s.
Good.
Great, well, catchy theme song.
Let's dust off my one piece of trivia I have about Inspector Jack. Inspector Jacket. That's like the porn version. Inspector Jacket.
Inspector Jacket.
Yeah, but J-A-C-K-I-T, just in case anybody was confused.
Jacket.
Is that this was supposed to be a Lupin the Third TV show. That was going to be a co-production between Deke and TMS, but they ran into the problem that they don't have the rights to Lupin the Third, and the family that owned it was very Arsène Lupin. Was very litigious, so I think they animated one or two episodes. They never recorded any voices, and they went, let's retool it. So the rumor goes, I haven't seen, like, it was supposed to take place in the future. That was the gimmick of the, I don't know if you guys know Lupin the Third.
Yeah, I've never seen it, but I know of it.
Castle of Cagliostro, the Miyazaki movie. That's a Lupin the Third movie.
Yeah, okay, so.
Very good film.
Yeah, when I looked on Wikipedia, this Inspector Gadget was like a Canadian, French, American co-production.
Japanese. As well, because TMS animated it. Yeah, and they're like the main Tokyo Movie Studios.
Okay, and I always got a vibe when I was a kid that I'm like, man, I'm pretty sure this is a Japanese show, and they just redubbed it.
They didn't redub it, but like TMS is like one of the greatest animation studios ever. They did like Tiny Toons. They did a lot of the best episodes of Batman the Animated Series.
Yeah, it was very well animated, but it had that kind of Japanese style.
Yeah, and like character design and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. But it had a great opening theme song. And pretty much the whole gag of it was he was like this bumbling idiot. He's just completely oblivious.
Yeah.
And Penny and Brain,
they're the smart ones.
They're solving all the crimes behind the scenes, and
which
like,
was fun as a kid because that's your kind of kid character that you can relate to.
Yeah. That you feel like them. And the movie version ignored that completely.
Yeah, exactly.
I was
ignores a lot of stuff. But I remember when they announced the casting for this, or like the first, I'm like, Matthew Broderick. That's...
I was trying to think of like who would be a good live action in 1999 Inspector Gadget.
Jim Carrey.
Harry Shearer.
Harry Shearer.
Jim Carrey would be too big.
I guess so, but Matthew Broderick.
They want him
is
to be a Jim Carrey. Yeah,
he's
like,
horribly miscast.
The gag of Inspector Gadget is that he's very confident in himself.
Yes,
and he thinks that he's always right, and he's oblivious to everything going on around him.
Yes. Maybe
and,
like Steve Carell, but he wasn't around in 1999.
Yeah, Steve Carell would have been. Well, he was there for Get Smart, exactly. Starring in that movie.
Exactly.
Yeah, actually,
maybe that's why I was thinking. But.
Yeah, I could see that. But he has like the kind of body type, and he kind of looks like Inspector.
Yeah, he kind of looks like Inspector Gadget. And you can see him doing the straight man thing the entire time.
Yes, it has to be a straight man.
You got it, April.
My God, like this.
Also, like, what is wrong, like, with Matthew Broderick? Like, his career is terrible. And he's not a bad actor, but, like, all his choices, basically for his entire career after Ferris Bueller, and I guess I didn't see the other 80s.
Election.
Election was really good.
Great
in that.
Election was great, and he had a very good small part in Manchester by the Sea.
And maybe like the producers.
That movie was
the
terrible.
Thing about Matthew Broderick, he has a very good Broadway career.
Right.
So like he's done a lot of stuff on Broadway.
Yeah.
I think that's why he's in the producers.
He's kind of cursed with the kind of like, he just looks like a kind of old boy, like
father. But he doesn't.
He's got that child face.
He doesn't have any grit. He's always this like gee whiz.
You needed that that Inspector Gadget grit.
Yeah, he needs some edge to this character.
Maybe not, but
maybe like
he just comes off as like a dork.
I don't think he's charming. Is a
no,
big
he's
issue.
Not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, and especially with
he's charming in Ferris Bueller.
What was that Christmas? Was it Christmas with the Cranks? Not the Cranks.
Deck the Halls.
Deck the Halls. Like he's kind of like he's like an asshole, like an insufferable
asshole.
Yeah,
that's what he always comes off as an asshole. That's why he's very good in something like The Cable Guy or Election.
Yeah, no, Cable Guy, because it's
Cable
like,
Guy!
Cable Guy is great because he can play the straight man, but also you're like, this guy sucks.
Like, like you don't like Matthew Broderick in that
movie. You're not supposed to like him. He's kind of a jerk.
He's
kind
of like cold and aloof, and like he thinks he's better than everybody. And it's
even though he is like, well, you enjoy seeing Jim Carrey torture him in that movie.
Yeah, for sure. But so he's just so miscast in this movie, and he is not. And when he's playing his alter ego, it's like the evil. He's just disturbing.
It's also embarrassing.
Don't like it.
And he can't do slapstick well.
No,
which I mean, maybe he's good at that kind of stuff on stage.
Yeah.
But like it comes off so desperate and just does not work. It never works.
Yeah, it's just. Oof.
This movie came out right after Election. Wow. Matthew Broderick had Godzilla, then Walking the Waterline, which I don't know what that is.
Yeah, I never heard of that.
I don't think he stars in it. Yeah, and then Lion King 2, Simba's Pride.
And then Parole.
Yes. When did that was 1987. So
he was like a teen or a young man when that incident happened.
Mm-hmm. The manslaughter. Was he drinking and driving? No.
No, he was just
driving
confused
on the wrong side
because
of the
he
road.
Was driving on the wrong side of the road.
That's unfortunate.
And Jennifer Grey was in the car with him.
Yeah, and I don't think he got like any.
I feel like a late night host. I'm like, joke about Jennifer Grey's nose. No, I will avoid that. I'm too good for it involving a car accident.
But yeah, I mean, we always.
It looked better before she got the plastic surgery. So.
We always have to talk about this whenever we talk about Matthew Broderick, which is
which we tend to do quite often.
It's have come up a few times.
Matthew Broadcast.
What did we talk about Matthew Broderick about before? I don't think we've ever done a movie about him.
Well, we did
Deck
the Halls.
Yeah,
We may have done another movie that he was in, for all I know.
Yeah, he's a total asshole.
We've done 150 episodes.
This movie, anyway. Or most movies.
But the thing about this movie is it's not just Matthew Broderick. It's filmed terribly. There's weird like close-ups all over the place.
Yeah, well, this is a movie that someone told the filmmaking team, hey, it's based on a cartoon, and they cracked their knuckles and went, I know what that looks like.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, no!
Right off the bat.
The maskitis.
Oh, yeah, right off the bat.
I would argue
like,
the mask does it well. This is just
This is doubly, like, Son of... I think this is worse than Son of Mask.
Yeah, this is...
I think so, too.
The whole opening...
is this the worst movie we've done?
No, I wouldn't go that far, but the whole opening sequence, I was like, oh, no, this is... I'm getting Son of the Mask vibes.
And even though it's supposed to be a fantasy sequence.
Yeah, but it's...
It did look like Son of the Mask.
Well, the thing is, this movie is, like, 78 minutes long, and it's
edited. It crawls over that 70 minutes.
Well,
like,
holy shit, it is edited within an inch of its life. Like,
Makes it feel so long.
Yeah, the opening sequence, like the way, like the energy and the way it's just cut so frenetically, and it's just like,
and then the
so
stupid
obnoxious.
Interstitial flashes of just random like robot stuff to not sometimes even in the middle of a scene.
Yeah, you can tell.
It's like, were they trying to just add runtime?
So this was directed by David Kellogg, who only has one other feature film credit, Cool as Ice.
But if you go to his IMDb, he has
must have added all of this himself, right? Like every commercial he's ever, and they're huge commercials as well.
It's like 150 credits.
Did
or
he
something.
Do Kellogg's cereal?
No.
No, he did the Jerry Seinfeld Superman commercial, which is a really famous one.
Yeah,
I don't recall it, but I'll have to look that up.
Yeah,
I'm looking here. You probably won't recognize them just from the name of it.
No, generally commercials are not on IMDb.
Nope.
And he directed a lot of Playboy stuff.
Oh, yeah.
As well.
And I think music videos?
Yeah, Michael Jackson. Okay. He's part of that, like, Dangerous, the short film. He did the Jam music video.
His big movie breakout was Cool as Ice. Vanilla Ice.
Movie breakout is one way to say it.
I've always thought we might have to do that at some point.
It's a fun movie. Flophouse just did it on one of their live shows.
I've never seen it.
Apparently, the production design is really interesting.
Well, also the, I can't say his name, Yemis Kaminsky cinematography.
Janusz
Kaminsky. That's right, yeah.
Janusz, there you go. Yeah.
Spielberg's dude.
Which is insane.
You gotta all go start somewhere.
I guess that's true. This opening sequence, it's basically Matthew Broderick is a beat cop in totally not a backlot.
He's actually not a beat cop. He's a security guard.
I mean, in
his
fantasy.
Oh, you mean in his
sequence.
Fantasy? Sorry.
Yeah, he's twirling the baton. It's like some school bus is out of control.
Did you notice how everything is bright green? Like,
Yeah,
because
it's a cartoon, April.
That's why I was just getting
it.
Like,
was like chroma key green, though.
Yeah,
it's like
so
wide screen. It's wide angles and people's faces being like,
hate it.
Just the worst.
It's not funny. That's like the biggest thing, right? Like,
yeah, it's just obnoxious. And it's
it just feels like a Mountain Dew to the extreme commercial, but 78 minutes long.
It was commercials at that time. I remember there would be like a Fruit by the Foot commercial or something.
Whoa!
But,
and like the camera's going, like zooming in someone's face.
I can see it in my mind.
Yeah, and just see that.
Your teacher doesn't want you to eat this.
Is that in a movie?
Boing?
Yeah. Oh, the sound effects.
The sound effects in this movie.
Jesus Christ.
Well, it does do one of my favorite. Well. Almost. We'll get to it involving eyes.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I know.
But not on animals.
Actually, it's funny. When that scene happened, I thought of you and I laughed.
I wasn't laughing. I was just watching the movie like grim face.
There are so many like honks and slide whistles.
Boink.
And,
now
like,
I feel bad because boings. I remember saying for Theodore Rex, there should be more cartoony sound effects. Now I got
Inspector Gadget was like,
my wish came
true. The monkey paw curls.
Yeah. This is way too much. There's like a sound effect for everything.
But none of it's funny. No. Like none of it like a big slapstick like,
It feels like a lot of it was done after the fact, where it's just like they're desperately trying to kind of make this work in editing, and apparently like the original cut was like 110 minutes, and then they and then they screened it, and it's like cut it down to 78, and it feels like it's barely comprehensible.
You know what Matthew Broderick feels like in this movie? It's like your friend's dad doing a magic trick, and you're like,
I agree.
Ugh.
And you're like, oh,
it's like you're so
God.
Embarrassed by for.
Yeah,
no, he feels like your friend's dad like rapping or something.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, my name is Matthew Broderick, and I'm here to say.
And you're just so embarrassed.
Like,
no,
I had seen this before. I guess it came out in 99, so I was like a preteen, but I saw it at like a sleepover, but I think maybe we had put it on for like the younger kids or something, or maybe we were babysitting or something. I don't really remember, but I remember thinking, this is absolutely terrible. Yeah.
I remember thinking that too as well when I was, I think I must have been 11. Yeah. And I saw it, I was like, ugh, bad.
That sucks. Even yeah. kids can tell the stink of a
yeah.
terrible
Even though
movie.
It's like a big Disney film, came in the big clamshell and everything, I remember
it's
when
so
I got
bizarre.
It.
It's so bizarre, yeah. Like they were marketing this up the wazoo. Like,
mm-hmm. I wonder what know. Its budget was. Probably very big,
did Disney
big,
just
right?
buy the rights to the show?
I guess
I wonder,
so.
Do they own Inspector Gadget?
Well, they must because it's on Disney Plus now, but like at the so, time.
Yeah, yeah well,
like,
even the opening Disney logo ooh, is like animated.
We
and
get
has,
a,
like,
we get a logo. We get it. We get a change
oh, you love that,
of
April.
The castle and it becomes.
It's like a cog and yeah, like all this machinery.
It's a mechanic castle.
Yeah, I don't know if I've seen that much in like Disney movies.
They've
like,
done it on a few things that we've talked about, but
okay. yeah,
they don't
April
like
always
to
points
do that.
It out.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I remember last episode we had the universe shell.
Oh, right. Well, speaking of you know, animated openings, the opening mm-hmm. credits for this are animated.
Yes.
And you think, like, I always love, you know, personally, like a good animated opening. opening credits.
Yeah.
This is like so uninspired and
oh,
terrible.
Yeah. They go on for 8 minutes. Did you notice that?
No.
The credits go on and on. Yeah, they go on for a long time. We didn't even say the opening is Matthew Broderick has a dream where he's a B cop and he saves a dog and a
And a bunch
you know,
of kids.
Yeah,
bunch
everybody.
Of
kids. That's it. Everybody loves him.
I would have. Did you notice the wild product placement throughout this film of
yes.
like Doritos? And
Yahoo.
I was shocked the Chihuahua wasn't like Taco Bell.
Yo,
or something.
Yeah, even Daisy.
I don't know
Penny.
If we can do the voice anymore. Even though that
Penny
you know,
had like
it.
A big like Calvin Klein logo on her shirt at one point.
Yeah. Oh,
like
that's
yeah,
right.
I noticed.
There's the big Yahoo billboard because you
and
know
they
everybody
do.
Uses
God, I love that Taco Bell dog. He rules.
Oh man, they got to bring him back.
I think I'll need a bigger box. Imagine me doing the voice in your head. I'll give it the most flat delivery possible.
Why can't we do funny voices anymore?
Yeah. Oh, we can do that. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Like, as they pointed out, it's kind of insulting in The Simpsons that, like, anytime you see them horrible and old and very large, they have southern accents. I'll wash my sail through the rag on a stick.
It's your yeah. war stick.
Yeah. Let's go to the library and get some books.
Some movies.
Movies.
Yeah. Rumors.
Anyway,
scab.
We're still allowed to do that accent.
Yeah,
and
we are.
Mamma mia, Italian.
Yes.
That's a...
Hope that never goes away.
Because
well,
I
do it
all
the
time.
At home?
Yeah.
Are you like, Mamma mia?
We're always making
that's
like,
a, what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, I'm always making Italian food.
I don't know why. We just like to,
anytime we're making Italian food.
Maybe
which
we're
is
a little
a
offside, but
yeah.
Yeah. But,
we do it with love, which doesn't make it okay
yeah,
doing an Italian accent.
With a love. So
so you're just Mario?
Yeah, that was clearly Mario.
It's me, Mario. I'm from Brooklyn.
God, if Chris Pratt can do it.
Yeah. Oh, hello, it's me, Mario. That's Chris Pratt's son, Mario.
So, yeah, we get introduced. It's like he wakes up from his dream. Brain is, like, licking his nose. Ha,
now,
ha, ha.
Didn't it feel edited down that, like, if you're going to do a dream sequence where at the end a woman kisses Matthew Broderick
yeah.
and then it cuts to a dog? Why wasn't she licking his face? That's like the obvious joke
yeah.
that you
because
do.
Because the mask did it. And they
oh, is that what the
oh,
did the mask
right.
do that exact thing?
Well, yes,
I
they
don't
did.
Remember.
You can't
yes,
rip everything off from the mask in this movie.
So
Justin.
Shameless. Like,
it gets to the point
right.
at the end. It's like, okay, that was the same shot.
They even do
yes.
the machine gun
yes.
thing.
Yes.
yes.
I was thinking that one.
It's exactly the same
and
shot.
And they have like the teeth and everything. And then April was like, I think Matthew Broderick probably thought this was his mask.
Oh, absolutely.
This was going to be like as popular.
Like, I'm
going to
be the next Jim Carrey.
Maybe.
He was tortured by Jim Carrey in The Cable
That's
Guy.
True.
Do you think he was jealous?
Yeah.
That he was like, Jim Carrey's getting all the laughs.
Honestly, this is making me want to rewatch The Cable Guy because I fucking love that
cable
movie.
Cable Guy!
It's like, I need to wash like the bad Matthew Broderick performance off my brain.
Do you know,
brain.
I've heard there is, not. It's not a Cable Guy remake, but it has the same premise that like a guy makes a friend that like is really intense and it's going to be Paul Rudd in the Matthew Broderick role
okay.
and our generation's Jim Carrey, Tim Robinson in the Jim Carrey role.
Oh, that does sound pretty good.
That,
but
that
they
sounds
could.
So good.
They did that. They kind of did that in Dinner for Schmucks. Did you guys see that?
No,
that was
I did
Paul
not.
Rudd and Steve Carell.
Yeah.
That movie's not
yes.
very good, but it's
no.
it's kind of the
but
same
Tim
thing.
Robinson.
Tim Robinson?
The,
I want to see that. I want to see
that. That's so funny.
Nobody
sounds
more
like
annoying.
A direct to Netflix comedy.
Yeah. I
no, it's actually produced. By one of the guys who did Barbarian.
Oh,
so,
really?
Will it be like a scary
That's
movie?
The whitest kids you know?
No, it's not directed. Oh,
oh,
I don't
okay.
know who directed. I'm going to look here. I haven't seen like, I've only seen it mentioned in passing. It got like shut down yeah. during the actor strike. But I do oh, know through inside sources that it has been completed.
Oh, okay,
it's called
cool.
Friendship. is the name of the movie.
Hopefully it's not a Warner Brothers movie.
God, I hope not. Who directed it? Usually when I see these comedies, I'm like, who directed it? It's like, somebody who didn't do much, just does TV.
Someone
who
used to write
death
for The Simpsons.
Uh-huh. Yeah. High Fidelity. So he's just like a TV guy. Maybe it'll be good.
Tim Robinson, I'm going to see
he
anything.
He needs his feature film. Yeah. Yesterday, me and my friend, we were literally just saying Tim Robinson sketches to each other, and then we just started watching them.
We were just
coffin flops. Yeah. Is it weird that one in five bodies just are naked?
I love the sketch where it's like the gorilla comes in and pulls the wig off, and he's like, oh, that's why I'm bald. It's from season one.
I don't remember that one.
It's so funny.
Coffin flops.
It was so a pig wearing a Nixon mask.
Oh, yeah. It's like,
people love it when we just say funny sketches that we like.
For one minute, I thought there were monsters on the world.
And I wish I would die instead of going to work. Isn't that sick?
We were watching the... what was it? The Dragon's Den one the other night with that girl.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, with the wine?
I like wine. I'm scared how much that I girl, love wine.
That woman has such funny sketches, like the one where it's like, we're going to watch this Driver's Ed video, but don't ask about the table. Eddie Munster got my table so dirty.
Just heard the way she says things is so funny.
Freddy Krueger is
such a jerk.
I can't
even watch a movie without a big mouthful of wine and popcorn.
Every line is so funny.
Don't give me a bad deal, Roll.
They fired me at dinner.
Oh, it's so
all
great
right,
that we're
this has been an
about,
ad for I Think Usually.
So
man, more laughs in this last 30 seconds than we collectively had watching Inspector Gadget.
It's so true. I did not laugh. I think I laughed once, and I'm so sorry. It was from an Andy Dick joke in this movie. I'm not going to give him the honor of being my favorite thing because
the
he's
true
a
villain of this
person.
Movie and everything that he appears
but,
in Andy Dick.
So he plays bad scientist.
Dr.
Claw scientist.
Wasn't it Dr. Claw in the
And then this
cartoon?
He's like just Claw. What?
Right.
Boo.
Well, he starts off, it's Rupert Everett, by the way. And again, like very strange casting.
Why did they give him a claw? He has a metal hand in the show. It looks cool. He doesn't have like
It's true. It does not look like it looked like
absolutely.
In the show.
Everyone who made this movie, they don't care about and rightfully so they don't need to care about Inspector Gadget.
Exactly.
That's fine.
It's like,
but
whatever.
It's like translated in like, I don't know, he has a claw, I guess. Like
I did love that Andy Dick made him like different types of hands and he has like his opera hand and then the sushi hand. And it just
yes.
has built in.
Well, I'm gonna say this right now. Sometimes people who are problematic make things that you enjoy. And I will say...
You don't have to worry about Andy Dick, I don't think.
No, Andy Dick has been funny in the past. He was funny on, like, the Ben Stiller show like, many other sketch-related things. So he is kind of one of the only people in this I kind of laughed at. The other person was Sherry O'Terry. And I will say, she'll be my favorite thing. She plays the mayor.
The mayor of the city. And
she was funny.
Dabney Coleman playing
Chief
Quimby.
I love Dabney Coleman. He's great in everything that he's in.
He's funny, but it's just like, wow, when was the last time I saw Dabney Coleman in anything?
95.
Yeah, he's great.
I'm sure he's
95.
Been in something since then.
Oh,
you know
sure.
what's weird about Dabney Coleman in this movie is he doesn't get punished. That's the joke of his character in the show.
Is, he's
is that like he's blown up and like just terribly treated by Inspector Gadget,
yeah,
but for some reason still has faith in Inspector Gadget.
He's just a completely different character in the movie.
All that happens is that he spits out his coffee because apparently a kitten like threw up in it or something, and a very poorly choreographed.
That was the weirdest scene, and this happened again and again. There would be gags and just the way the scene is edited. Everything is mistimed. It's just very confusing and you're like, wait a minute, was that a what happened?
Yeah, and if I don't get it, how is like a kid supposed to get this who is the audience to this movie?
The filmmakers don't care. They're it's for kids. We don't it doesn't need
but
to work.
But they put a bunch of adult jokes in this too.
Well, that's the worst sign of like,
just innuendo, but like references to old TV shows and movies is all over this.
There's like,
I think what was missing from this movie was like CGI dogs dancing to like, you've got to move it,
100%.
Move it. I think I would have liked that if that happened.
There was a scene where Brain, they're playing like Smash Mouth, and then they show Brain dancing in the back of the car.
But it's like a weird like moving
he's
shot.
He's clearly just being like shaken by somebody off screen.
Yeah, it was not a CG. No, I thought we were going to get a full animated CGI brain dog, you know.
I'm going to say it. I think Brain should have been fully CG.
Yes.
1999, that's very rough. But the movie should have been from Penny and Brain's point of view.
Yes.
I know.
That's
oh my
how,
because
we're spending so much time with Inspector Gadget. He sucks. He's lame. He's not funny.
It's about how he wants to get laid by that lady. Yeah. Like, a lot of the movie is that. And then we spend a ton of time with Dr. Claw, too.
Yes.
Like, yes. Dr. Claw, the villain that you never see in the TV show.
Famously. And he never does the voice.
He's just like a guy in this.
Yeah. Well, he does. Okay. Should we just like get through the basic plot of this?
Yeah,
like,
let's do it.
It's stupidly complicated.
Yeah. It's like Rene Aubergenois from
DS9. From DS9.
He and his daughter are like, they have this robotics thing. They're developing the gadget program. So whatever. It's so lame.
Yeah. And he gets killed.
He gets killed like instantly.
Yes.
We kind of like blinked and missed his death.
His daughter gets over it very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Big
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
It's essentially the plot of RoboCop. So
yeah.
He works, Matthew Broderick works security at their building, and Rupert Everett, who at this point is not Dr. Claw yet, he has some different name. He comes in to steal the technology, and then he goes after him, and I guess Rene Aubergenois gets killed in the process. And Matthew Broderick, gets hurt.
He was so method, you can't tell the difference between both of them.
He gets hurt, and Rupert Everett loses his hand through a wacky, thing where a billboard falls on him.
He blows up his car, and then a bowling ball flies.
A Yahoo building, thank you very much. And it goes, Yahoo!
A big ad for Yahoo.
So annoying. It's just edited so terribly. I'm like, did his hand get crushed? April had to tell me.
It does. A bowling ball falls on it.
So then, but it's just edited so badly. It's just nothing works.
So he wakes up and he's
in a full body cast. Oh, ha, 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 ha.
But the thing is, like, they're like, is he dead? No, he's alive. The lady is like, the only choice is to turn him into a robot.
Basically replaced his entire body. Yeah.
Like, it wasn't his choice at all. It's not like the future with, what is it, Oscorp or OCP?
Yeah.
We're in a dystopian future.
They do make a point of saying in RoboCop, it's like, oh, he signed the papers, like, when he joined the force.
But in this, like, Matthew Broderick did not consent to this. And if he's in a full body cast, he's not dead. He would have recovered eventually. But instead, they turned him into a robot monstrosity.
Yeah, they do. Yes. Dabney Coleman has, like, an English patient joke here.
Yeah.
When they see him in the
That's for mom and dad.
I mean, like, who the hell is going to get that joke?
I know.
Like, oh, my God.
Wait, when did English Patient come out, like 1992 or something like that?
Oh, I can't remember.
1996, so not that long ago.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't even see it, although I did read the book.
Oh!
I had to, because in high school.
So the operation scene, they're turning him into an Inspector Gadget. It's like, what kind of program is this? They have like, they're stuffing all this stuff inside of him, like... He's got like
it's funny, Colin.
Like, it's supposed to be funny that they're putting balloons and Pez dispensers in his body.
Hilarious. And he's got like, I don't know, it seems to be like 700 gallons of toothpaste like in his body somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Don't question it.
I'm not buying it.
It's a cartoon. Yeah. You just have to go with it.
Yeah.
And it's done in like a normal hospital as well, like not like a science hospital or anything like that.
Yeah, it's very strange. And my note for this scene was operation scene. So many slide whistles. Sound effects for everything.
And here's the thing about Inspector Gadget. It's not fun to see stuff come out of his body.
No.
It looks unsettling. And it makes you question too many things. Yeah. When he like looks at his hands and like a corkscrew and fire comes out of his fingers. It's like,
it's kind of like body horror-ish. But
when he wakes up, he's like, what am I? It's awful.
How did they go from barely moving a foot to installing it all in Matthew Broderick?
I have no idea.
Yep.
Your guess is as good as mine.
When his neck stretches, I'm like, I don't like looking at that.
Yeah. And like, then Rupert Everett is able to create a whole clones.
Just, for some reason, that looks like Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, and then there's another one of the girl. He creates a robot.
I was thinking about this. I guess there's not that many, like, Inspector Gadget villains in this. In the, like, the cartoon.
Oh, I don't
He just,
remember.
Like, stops normal crime, right?
I think so.
I feel like Claw's behind everything, though.
Yeah.
He's always got his cat.
I'll get you next time.
I'll get you, Gadget. Gadget.
Wait, who does the voice? Again, someone.
Dr.
Dr. Claw. It could be me. It could be you.
No, we did watch a...
It's probably like Jim Cummings or something. Oh, it's Frank Welker, of course.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
He probably did the cat as well.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. Meow! House cat. Yeah.
We did watch a clip of the sequel with French Stewart.
Oh.
We couldn't even get through the full clip.
Boy, oh boy.
I'm glad we didn't watch that. You thought this CGI looked bad, oh boy.
Holy
Well, I think one of the other weird issues with this movie is it's like not weird enough to be funny. Like, it's just like unsettling in a way that like it almost scientifically designed. Like, I sang the praises of some scenes of Son of Mask.
Right.
It was just like, what were they thinking?
Yeah.
But here it's so like craven. Like, I could tell the guy of Son of Mask, he's trying to make this funny.
Right.
And here it's like, oh, these fucking stupid kids. This is what they want, right? They want like a car that for some reason has a CG face that is a sidekick voiced by D.L. Hughley.
This is like
the most annoying character in the movie.
I hate
him. And that's saying something.
It's like everything in this fucking movie makes a noise and is yakking
and is yammering
talking.
At
it's
you.
Just like nonstop.
It's kind of like Theodore Rex was. Is this better or worse? I don't know. They're probably, I think they might hate both of those
I would
movies
prefer
equally.
To watch Theodore Rex if given the choice again than Inspector Gadget.
I think
Gadget.
I would too, but I really hate
I can
Theodore
look at the
Rex.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I'd rather look at the dinosaurs, and I like Whoopi.
Then
Whoopi,
like Matthew
than
Broderick
Matthew Broderick's
be like,
face.
Whoa!
Yeah, especially when he becomes the evil Matthew Broderick with the teeth. It's just like
disturbing, actually.
Yeah. But like we say disturbing, but do you think if someone maybe like a Tim Burton was doing this movie, it would at least have a more interesting like weirdness to it?
Yeah, but my issue with Tim Burton, he's not very funny. Like
I guess
he
not.
does comedic stuff, but like slapstick is not really his forte.
Yeah. His humor is more dark. I think.
Yeah.
I think that would be. I'm envisioning a version of Inspector Gadget that's just like. Ugh.
He's like, why am I alive?
Like Scissorhands.
Like if I was given a job, like Asylum was like, hey, you need to make like an Inspector Gizmo movie. I'd be like,
Detective
okay,
Gizmo.
So, yeah, Detective Gizmo. Now they'd go with Inspector Gizmo. Like it needs to be close enough that it doesn't
people.
Get too far away. Yeah. Like my friend was like, well, there's a lot of nudity in the Steven Spielberg War of the Worlds film. And he's like, wait a minute. True story that happened to my friend Christian.
He got tricked.
Back when you could rent movies at Rogers Video. You would do it from the point of view of Brain and Penny. Mm-hmm. If I was doing a Asylum version, though, I don't think I could do a full CGI dog. Mm-hmm. Guy in dog suit.
That has never stopped the Asylum.
Yes. Or just film
a
CG dog.
Thing?
No, film a dog, but then have like a cartoon voice a la Love on a Leash style.
Or like Detective...
But the Brain doesn't talk. Like, he does not talk in the cartoon.
He just makes noises.
He's silent. Like,
that's the joke.
He's so expressive, though.
Yeah.
He's like...
Yes. I'm pretty sure he walks on like 2 feet. Like, he walks like a human.
Yeah, sometimes he does.
Yeah. I think I remember
but then
him
when
being like on the computer typing and
stuff. Yeah, he can do anything.
Because like that's so, like thinking about, I'm laughing thinking about a fictional Inspector Gadget show of like Brain just trying to make Inspector Gadget look good and not kill himself.
Yeah.
Like that's what's funny. It's not hard.
That's funny. And I love the Brain character from
and I
like
Penny
just the cartoon,
too.
Like just how expressive he is and just how fun they are. Like, yeah, Penny. They do that stupid thing where they kind of leave the setup at the end. Like she gets her little communicator at the end.
Yeah, it's like, why didn't we get that?
Yeah.
In the
that's
movie.
Like something
but then,
that would be in a movie now.
And again, it's like hubris. Yeah. It's like
also
wait
the
for
Brain
the
like talks, and it's like no,
it's Don
Brain
Adams.
Talks with
Don Adams',
Adams
voice.
Voice, which makes no sense.
Yeah. I mean, I would like to say, all right, that's the end of the movie. We're done, but nah, we're not done. We got to back up.
So many goddamn scenes.
We're not going to talk about all of them, but
yeah,
it's Inspector Gadget. Like, it's just kind of a freewheeling plot. There's not really any threat he has to deal with.
No, not really.
And but, again, we spend so much time with Claw and him and his henchmen, and him developing, you know, trying to steal the foot and get the technology, and his like evil plan. Which is to create a bunch of Inspector Gadgets.
It's like an army of gadgets.
Yeah, that he's going to sell to like the military or something, I think, or
like
policemen.
Why wouldn't they look like, I know why, because he wants them to, you know, embarrass Inspector Gadget, but like they could look like Rupert Everett or someone else. I don't know. Like,
why does it have to look like Matthew Broderick?
It could be like a bunch of Andy Dicks.
That's a nightmare of like robotic Andy Dicks.
Yeah, you can tell though, like they have a lot of moments where he'll flash back to something that happened. Like,
yeah,
literally, like
that, you know, that was another scene.
Oh, exactly.
They cut
out. Like, yeah, a cartoon thought, bubble will come bubble. Up for a second, and I would turn to April, and like, that's a whole sequence that they cut out.
Yeah,
that,
they just like sped it up a little bit to me. But like, yeah, you can see the edits in this.
Yeah,
which just, that's not what you want.
It's like jam it all into like 78 minutes, and you know, it's probably like 40 minutes of shit that they cut out.
You're right. It does scream of like, just throw a bunch of shit in there that will keep kids' attention.
Yeah, there's an explosion. We got to keep that. Yeah, have it in a thought bubble.
Yeah,
that'll
exactly.
be good.
It's like, keep it short. You know, just chop it down so we can show like a bunch more screenings a day and get more money or something.
But the scene where Joelle Fisher, for some reason, meets her like sex-obsessed robot.
Oh,
twin. Yeah. Keep that in. Keep that in.
Because
that's
a little something for daddy, right?
Yeah.
It was kind of funny when she does a cheerleading thing and she just flips right off the roof.
Yeah.
But then she's just fine later. So, like, come on, guys.
It's a cartoon. Yeah. That's
again,
why.
Don't think about it.
I wanted to see, like, an explosion come up. Like,
and they got her because she was in the mask. And they're like,
yes.
Oh, we need that mask. Was she wasn't the reporter, was
no,
she?
No, see, we thought no, she's it was. She's someone
yeah.
else.
Yeah, it's Amy Yazbek was the
Who
reporter.
Who is she in the mask, though? We don't know.
It's a very
she's the Jim Carrey's co-worker. I'm looking at photos
okay,
of it right
must
now.
She must not be in it very much then.
No.
No.
She's way down on the IMDb cast list.
Yeah, but yet that's the movie that comes up first on her IMDb.
Yeah. This is funny.
Related to Eddie Fisher.
We need that
So my favorite scene of the movie is when Inspector Gadget has to break into somewhere to steal the shoe. Wait, why does he need the like Dr. Claw, the foot? If he already built a robot Inspector Gadget.
You got me.
Maybe he
built it, but it can't function?
Oh, he built it, but it needs that chip. The
yeah,
the
yeah, chip. That's in the shoe.
Was it the gadget chip or whatever the hell?
In the foot.
So there's a security guard. He's sleeping. And when Inspector Gadget crashes, you see the Simpson. Homer wakes up. That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
I like the Simpsons.
Well, I was like, was the security guard watching that? Or did they just flash to it randomly?
They were. There's a pullout shot and you see Homer sleeping.
Okay.
And that's a joke.
Wait,
because I think Inspector Gadget, he's stealing it from Dr. Claw. Okay. Yeah. I'm just watching it right now. And that's why.
Yeah. Because the girl ends up working for Dr. Claw. Remember, and then he drops the last of the Mohicans joke. He climbs up the window.
No, I don't remember that.
He's like, go home, stay alive, no matter what occurs. I will find you.
Later, you get a Clint Eastwood movie.
Awful.
Where they do the showdown.
This is all like the mask, like referencing. It's like, this is what people want, right?
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
No,
they want Jim Carrey doing that in the mask.
Yeah.
And then never again, please.
Matthew Broderick. Like, yeah. Oh God! But they're like training him, or the scientist doctor is training him on the use of his gadget. And there's like this bizarre scene. They're like the middle of the park.
God, which one?
He's just like go gadget, the Wall oil Street slick.
And then like toothpaste came out.
Sprays
and
it with gallons and gallons of toothpaste. This it just goes
on and on.
And also, it's like a running gag that anytime he says go go gadget.
That's an Inspector Gadget thing.
What the thing is supposed to be.
Yeah.
And that's supposed to be funny.
I'm laughing.
Unless he's dancing and he needs to be cool. Then for some reason he works.
Yeah, he works. Exactly. He was able to find
and it's
that
not like go-go
gadget.
He's not like go-go gadget, oil slick, and then like a flamethrower, like lights are on fire or anything like that.
That'd be great.
See, that should have happened to Dabney Coleman. There was no scene where like an explosion went off and you see like Dabney Coleman's skeleton or something.
Look,
like
we're
that.
Writing better jokes right now.
I know.
Should know. It'd be Dabney Coleman and then it would show him, but his face would have like charcoal on it. And,
yeah, wanted to avoid that because it's really into blackface territory.
Yeah, but then it's like his hair is smoking.
It's all smudged. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he had like an exploding cigar or something. And then so she's like sends him to a training like to learn like Zen meditation to empty his, and we get like Babu from Seinfeld
playing like a guru,
like some Indian guru character. And he's like, you have to like close your eyes and grab these two glass balls.
Yeah, so they grab his testicles
and
his eyes pop out in a horrifying way that you've seen on, like, remember when we were teenagers, April, there would be like, Ripley's Believe It or Not. And they're like, we're going to measure how far people can pop their eyes out.
That's disgusting. I was thinking more like, Well, they Son of the Mask, but also they did that joke in The Grinch where like, a guy kisses a dog's butt and the eyes go.
Oh yeah,
well, it was
no.
Like
I
that.
Think you're thinking of Furry Vengeance.
Oh, where well, it happened like, in that
ooh.
Too.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Was, I like that. I don't like it when it's a human being.
Yeah, and they
especially that they do it like realistically.
Yeah, it's like photorealistic, and it looks kind of like remember in like the Road Warrior or Mad Max, right before the guy hits and the car blows up. They always cut. George Miller always likes to cut to like a frame.
Yeah, I love that.
Eyes.
But it's like a little. It's like a head.
Yeah, it's just disgusting. Or the eyes are like bugging out of his head.
Gross.
It's really funny. Well, I don't know. And then he starts speaking in like a high pitched voice because his balls.
I'm the tune that killed your brother.
And then they wheel him away, and he's like,
God Almighty.
Yeah, and he's like, it hurt. So now has anyone ever laughed at that joke, like unironically?
Yeah, maybe like in the 1930s or something. Yeah. First came out.
Watch out, Itchy, he's Irish.
Is that what really happens when you get hit the
doesn't.
Nuts? Does your
no.
voice go high?
No, because it's the like, oh, you know, you have a deep voice because you're manly.
Yeah.
And then if you're like feminized, then you have a high voice. That's the like the joke.
Well, thank you for explaining that to me because
no problem.
Know.
No, like, listen, I've done deep research into this. I think I asked this question recently as well. Of like, where did this start?
To a
like
scientist,
the, like,
doctor.
Well, it started in a sexist place.
Of
course. Oh, that's what people love: joke scientists.
Yeah. Can you explain this joke?
Yeah, and therefore it will be funny to me.
So we're introduced to the Gadget Mobile, which I'm pretty sure he had in the cartoon, but.
I don't recall it talking.
I don't think it talked.
But I could be wrong. I mean,
I don't think it did.
Was it like a Knight Rider type thing?
I don't think so at all.
I don't even remember this. I know he had a car because it's.
He had a car that transformed. It didn't talk.
Yeah,
I don't
think. It's just a normal car. But this thing, it's like some weird, like kind of pimped out, like low rider.
Kids love it.
Oh my God.
And DL Hughley does not shut up for 2 seconds. And like they keep like.
They got Patton Oswalt in to do like jokes.
Yeah, but it's like it's scenes that he's not even in. They're like just cutting to this. See, this is, I think it was added later or maybe added more scenes later. They just keep cutting to this CGI face.
Ooga.
And nothing that he said. And I'm sure DL Hughley is a funny guy. He had his own show.
I never watched it. Did you?
No.
Is it Hughley?
Right.
Hughley or Hughley?
Hughley.
Is it Hughley?
The Hughleys.
Okay.
That's what it was called.
I thought it was the Hughleys, but I never
He had his own show called The Hughleys?
Yeah, I think it was a sitcom.
Huh. Yeah, I remember that, but I don't remember.
And then I think he was
it.
On Studio 60 in the Sunset Strip, a show I did watch a few episodes of before it got canceled. But yeah, he was having a moment.
A Major Gentleman. I watched the first two episodes too.
Oh my God.
God, that show sucks.
I had
ass.
Such high hopes for it too, and it just bombed.
How are we going to save this comedy show? Well, how about we do a Gilbert and Sullivan
Gilbert
parody?
And, Sullivan.
And they're like, yes. This is such well worn territory for any comedy podcast. Like, that show stinks. That's why 30 Rock made the great decision that their Saturday Night Live parody, like the real show, is just bad. Like,
well,
they never try to make it funny.
Also, their show, 30 Rock, was only half an hour long. I think that helped it. Studio 60 was an hour.
Yeah, rest in peace,
just so, like, full
Matt LeBlanc.
I remember, like, when they first came out, because they came out at the same time.
They did.
Much.
They both aired at the same, like,
Sorry, I said rest in peace, Matt LeBlanc. Matt LeBlanc is not dead.
Matt LeBlanc? Oh, you mean Matthew Perry.
Matthew Perry, yes.
No, I forgot Matthew Perry was on Studio 60. That's
he was
the
star of Studio 60.
Yeah, I know. I forgot.
He was like the Lorne Michaels, wasn't he?
No, he was like the head writer.
Okay.
Yeah, they brought him in, didn't they, to like fix the
and
show
Bradley
or something?
Bradley Whitford was like the other guy, and then Amanda Peet was like the love interest.
Okay. This was it was Aaron Sorkin, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Oof. It was a bad show.
Yeah, I remember watching the first episode. And,
I think I watched
we all watched
two
it. It was appointment viewing. I think I watched two.
I don't know if I made it to three. I remember like Amanda Peet got pregnant at one point, and then Bradley Woodford like kissed her and was like, "I'm going to be a father to your baby." So that's what I remember. And so that had to be at least a couple episodes in.
I'm laughing already.
Yeah. I'm laughing as hard as I laughed at that news show he did as well.
What?
The Newsroom?
Yeah, is that what it was called?
Oh, yeah.
So. I never saw that.
Jeff, the Newsroom was
Jeff Daniels.
Yeah. If they made a show where like the main guy was, you know, he's not progressive, he's not right wing either, he's right in the middle, and he's just going to say it straight ahead. Ugh,
and he's going to tell it like it is.
It is. Even though he's commenting on stories that they said it like a year in the past so he could always be right about any news event that happened.
Yeah, that show was not very well received either, right?
No, but it lasted 3 seasons.
Oh. On only, like Apple TV Plus or something?
No, that was an HBO show.
Yeah, HBO.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
What am I thinking of? Oh, I'm thinking of The Morning Show or something.
The Morning Show, a show that like totally barely exists.
What's that one with like,
they
I feel like
it,
most of the show is on Apple Plus. Or
don't exist. Yeah,
they can't. Don't exist. They're like
if they turn it off, then like Apple Plus will cease to exist.
Yeah, it's just so strange. They exist in like this weird bubble.
So they just keep like, making.
It's like on the TTC.
It's like the Harrison Ford show.
Oh, I like that show. What is it called? Shrinking?
Shrinking?
Yeah, I'm a crummer.
I'm a curmudgeon.
He has a fun running gag in that show where he's like, quit raw dogging me. And they're like, you do not know what raw dogging means.
Yo, yikes.
I'm laughing. But they do that Halo show, which I love. I've seen the new posters on the subway. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the main guy is just like very confused about why he's on the show. Like he has his helmet off, like looking off into the distance.
It is insane to me that they made a second season of that.
It's like, everyone I talk to, like,
I think they must have signed up for it.
Yeah. Oh, like it was a 2-season deal maybe?
Yeah, it's kind of like that show we're all laughing about, Crapopolis, the NFT-based Dan Harmon show that Fox signed for 3 seasons before the first episode aired.
Oh, I've not heard of Crapopolis.
No one has. No one knows it exists.
I've never heard of anybody mention NFTs, thank God.
But it's like Matt Berry and Richard I can't
really?
Say his last name.
Richard Ayoade?
Yeah, and it's like all Greek gods and stuff like that.
Oh,
yeah, no one's watching it. So.
Well, I love those two actors, but
don't watch the show. Don't do it.
But you know what? I can't because it's probably airing on cable and I don't have cable.
Well, it's Fox. So I wonder where it would play.
Fox stuff for us is usually on Disney Plus.
Oh, oh, that's no, because they yeah, wait, that Fox stuff is very confusing. Anyway, back to Inspector Gadget.
Do we have to
can we talk about shows that just, Aaron Sorkin
made? There's a bunch of big like action set pieces in the third act that like
so
hey
lame.
At least it's something.
Yeah, it's
no.
Like, you know, Rupert Everett builds like a evil clone of Inspector Gadget who kind of like wreaks havoc
stomps
on everybody.
Through the city,
and he has big mask teeth on.
Yeah. Which did feel like a reference to The Mask.
Oh, totally. That's not the only one in this movie, but fuck. This whole end sequence is just interminable.
It's like if you thought that the regular Gadget had sound effects, the evil Gadget, like,
Jesus,
he's
God.
Constantly sound effecting.
He's always mugging, and it just...
yeah, mugging. Yeah.
Really...
Can I tell my favorite mask joke that's not even from the movie?
Okay.
It's from Harry Whittles. Do you know who that is?
No.
Rest in peace.
No.
He was like a comedy writer, and then he passed away.
Didn't he run Ain't It Cool News?
No, he did not. He had a tweet that was, I hate smoking sections, unless we're talking about The Mask with Jim Carrey, in which case the smoking section is my favorite part. That was the tweet.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
He's the guy who invented the term humble bragging.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Yep.
I know
anyway.
That one.
Probably
a humble bragging.
Smoking
section.
Anyway, back to...
I'm going to retweet it. Good joke.
Gadget.
He's fighting. Okay, so here's something that I'm going to give this movie credit for.
No!
No, that's actually, you don't see it in a lot of movies anymore, is the Rupert Everett has like the Doctor Woman on his helicopter. Gadget flies up. There's a lot of actual stunts on helicopters that they shot for real. And they have a dissension rig gag when they're falling off this skyscraper that...
Real stunt
people doing it, and it's pretty fucking impressive because they're falling off a big building.
Yeah,
you can tell.
Would never do that now unless it's, I guess, the new Matrix movie. But generally, you never see that.
Oh, you mean the new Matrix film directed and written by Drew Goddard?
No,
that's a new Matrix
film. We're
not
going to talk about that because it hasn't come out yet.
Hey, you never know.
No,
it might be.
Maybe
amazing.
Someone.
I mean, I'm sure it'll follow Sinister Six, also written and directed by Drew Goddard.
Oh no.
Goddard?
I think it's Goddard. Is he related to Jean-Luc Godard?
No. Not to my knowledge.
Drew Goddard, wasn't he...
He's a Joss Whedon
posse
guy.
Yeah, I was going to say, didn't he do that movie
Cabin in the Woods.
Oh, no, I like that, but the
El Royale.
I
didn't like that movie either.
I didn't care for that movie.
Nope, me neither.
Yeah.
He ran the first season of...
Buffy?
Daredevil, I think.
Oh, Daredevil.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's doing The Matrix.
He directed Cloverfield.
Right.
I think. No.
No.
Did he write it?
I think maybe he worked on Cloverfield.
I'm looking here.
Yeah, he did.
No, he wrote it. Cloverfield was directed by Matt Reeves, the Batman.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that Drew Goddard is mostly a kind of like punch-up guy that they bring on.
Yeah.
Oh, he wrote The Martian as well.
Oh.
and Lost, Daredevil, The Good Place. He wrote a bunch of episodes, The Defenders. Wow, he hasn't done anything since 2017.
He's a big TV guy.
But he I think he did some interviews where he was like, oh, I didn't really like The Last Matrix. I didn't get it. And it's like, no.
Oh, God. Jesus. Well, they've involved Lana Wachowski.
Well, I feel it's like a contractual thing, right?
No, I thought that they weren't... The Wachowskis are involved somewhat.
I think it's only Lana and it's like executive producing, but it's probably just like a kind of here we'll give you a title and we'll throw you some
because we're doing it whether you basically what the last movie was about.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, we're doing it without you whether you want it or not.
Yeah,
I know some people who hate the last movie. Just they find it very condescending.
A lot of people do hate the last movie, and I think that that is a very valid opinion. I personally loved it, but it's very polarizing, and I can understand why people thought that it was. Talking down to them. I personally don't feel like that, but I feel like that's a valid opinion. I mean, everyone's opinion is valid.
And I understand people being like, the action is bad. And I was like, you know what?
It is.
I agree with you. It's not very good.
I do.
And that's kind of like the point of the movie, that she doesn't want to do that anymore.
If you want to hear us talk about that movie, go join our Patreon. We have a full episode or like a half hour episode on The Matrix. Resurrection.
Matrix Resurrection.
But yeah, so
it's so funny they're going back to Matrix after the last one bombed. Nobody wants more Matrix movies.
It's weird. It's almost like the Ghostbusters thing. They're like, well, everyone hated that Ghostbusters. Let's try again and do a different
version. People
liked
the last one, didn't they?
Yeah, no, I just meant people didn't like the comedy one, and then they did Afterlife.
Yeah, well, they did the other one. It's like, oh, here's just the Ghostbusters. But it's just the first movie again.
Yeah.
And here's a sequel, and it's the first movie again.
What do you think this new Matrix is going to be?
It'll be just like recap of, And the thing is, like, I don't, and maybe people disagree with me, or no, they could have different opinions. I don't care about the world if the Wachowskis aren't involved, because everything in it is from what they like and their aesthetics being presented to you. And if you take away from that, it's like people in a computer world, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
Anyway.
Whatever.
So anyway, we gotta wrap.
Inspector Gadget.
Let's wrap up Inspector Gadget. So I'm sorry if maybe we glossed over
Inspector Gadget, like super fans are like, you need to go beat by beat.
What do you guys feel about Rupert Everett's performance in this? Because
bad.
I feel like at least he's trying, but B, it's a bit much.
Yeah, I felt like he kind of started out good, and I'm like, okay, he's at
least
trying.
But by the end, he's just like maniacally laughing.
He's so obnoxious, and it's just like, oh, God.
Also, I hate all the fourth wall breaking jokes in this movie, referencing Disney, actually looking at the camera and saying, what is the, you watch too many Saturday morning cartoons, whoop, and then there's like a sound effect, stop.
I find Rupert Everett looks so... different than he does in Cemetery Man, which was made like 5 years before this.
I knew
he's
you were going to mention
recognizable.
I knew you were going to mention Cemetery Man because you're obsessed with that movie.
I'm not obsessed with it. I like it.
You just talk about it a lot. That's all I'm saying.
Where do I talk about it?
Letterboxd, Twitter,
Cemetery Man podcast,
CemeteryMan.com, where I'm the moderator.
But yeah, I mean, I like him.
Yeah,
as
we
an
did
actor.
An episode on the director. That's why.
Okay. I like him as an actor. I think he can be great.
Yeah. I can't, like, Four Weddings and a Funeral? Is that what he's in?
No, it was My Best Friend's Wedding.
My Best Friend's Wedding,
that was
yes.
his big icon.
Napoleon, Narnia, Shrek the Third.
Yeah, I don't
really know him from any... Don't look at pictures of him now, but...
Well, he's a guy, you know, he lived a very hard life involving drugs.
Yes.
And he's very open about
that.
I
did see the first half of Cemetery Man where when you played it for some Halloween stream. And I was like, this movie is weird.
Yeah.
It is.
You are correct.
His moment. His breakout was My Best Friend's Wedding, where he was
and then,
the, the gay best friend.
He did Dunson Checks In the year before.
Oh, no.
Great movie.
Does not come back for the sequel of Inspector Gadget.
Dunson Checks Out?
No.
Oh, Inspector
that's where
Gadget
he dies.
2, starring French Stewart.
Yeah, French Stewart.
Yeah.
I'm Inspector Gadget.
I will say they play the Inspector Gadget theme song a lot in this movie.
That's plus.
I was not expecting to hear it even in the opening credits. I'm like, usually when they do stuff like this, they're just like, ah, fuck it. Let's just make up our own music.
They do that more than the Super Mario theme in the Bob Hoskins Super Mario Brothers.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah, they
which
play
you hear
it throughout.
In the opening, and that's it.
They play different. Like, there's like a string quartet kind of version of it when they're at the ball. I love this song. I think when I was in college, I taught myself how to play it on the flute because I was just like,
because
I was just like, you know, messing around.
Yeah.
And I was like, I love that song. It's not hard to learn.
Right? When I had a PC. When they came out in like the early 80s, you could like program like it to play little beeps and boops. And this is the first song that I like programmed into the
computer. So see, this song had like a huge effect on all of us. And I mentioned it before. I love the opening sequence of the cartoon. I think it's really, it's like, you know, that siren comes on. Oh my God. Yeah. It gives you like the feels. It just brings me back to being a kid, you know?
Yeah. 9/11 hadn't happened.
It's a different world.
Right. It actually ends kind of anticlimactically.
Yeah.
At the end, it's like, oh, it's over. All right.
And then there's a couple of post credits.
Well, he's like making out with the girl on his
His pants fall down
on his porch,
on a bridge,
and then like he shoots a firework out of his foot.
And that's supposed to be a boner joke.
Yeah. I want like toothpaste to just like mom and explode dad. Out of his crotch.
There's a lot of jokes like that in this, which is, I guess, what you do with an Inspector Gadget.
Do you think he has a huge dick? Like, did they install one
like
for
they
him?
Have to. It has to be like a permanently hard,
like a vibrator
thing
or something.
That, like, just, like...
It has to be permanently hard.
Yeah.
So you're watching the movie and you're like, he has to be walking around with a rock hard robo boner.
Because it's metal.
No, it would be like his finger.
No, like a balloon. Oh, so they put like his dick in his finger. Or
No. It would be like the finger, so like the tip would flip it up and then stuff like a toothbrush would come out.
Yeah.
So what comes out of his dick?
Why did you install this like this as a joke?
I mean, they're putting
they probably put like a vibrator or something.
No,
like
that's
down
where
there,
like
right?
the Pez dispenser comes out.
Like a rocket launcher or no something. Yeah, you're right. Colin's on the right track. It's like super impractical. It's like a printer or something like that.
Maybe that. Yeah.
He's like, it's like, call me on the telephone. He's like, just reach down into my pants.
Yeah, no, it's just like all the stocks are coming, like the stock report, like on the ticker tape.
I'm getting a fax. I got to get hard to receive it.
Unzips his fly and then just keeps
I'm telling you, he doesn't have
paper.
To get hard. He's always hard. Yeah. This is a robot.
He's a robot.
This was all covered in Inspector Jacket.
Inspector Jacket.
You'd think it'd be funny, like Edward Penis Hands. You'd think he'd have floppy penis hands. They're not. They're rock hard all the time. And they're just two giant dildos with veins on them. This is not a joke.
I'm assuming you've seen this, Justin.
I have not. I've seen the photo of it. This is something my friend once told me as a joke.
Yeah.
And I looked it up and we laughed and laughed and laughed.
Wait, which one? Like,
Edward penis hands?
Yeah.
Like, you think it'll be like funny. He'll have like floppy penis fingers. But instead he just has like two gigantic flesh-colored dildos on each hand.
I'm not putting this picture.
No, do not put it on.
On the,
oh, or put it like censored.
That just looks sad. Like,
looks terrible.
Yeah, he looks.
Yeah, okay. looks weird.
That's
I'm
weird.
Unable
oh, God,
to put
there's
this
like
on
a
YouTube.
Photo of him trying to eat spaghetti.
Yeah, I'm looking at that now. That
ew, guys,
disgusting.
Stop. Okay. But no kink shaming to anyone who's into that movie. But I feel like it was made as a joke.
Yes.
Edward Penis Hands. Okay, so this movie.
And that's how we end Inspector Gadget.
Yep, Inspector Gadget. So this movie is available on Disney Plus because Disney
don't watch
owns it. And in the movie, they actually make reference. They're like, hey, this is a Disney movie.
Oh,
blah,
God.
Blah, blah. Yeah, it's stupid.
Whoa, 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 whoa. How can I forget talking about I'll Be Your Everything by Youngstown?
Yeah, did that play during the credits?
It played during the end credits.
I watched that video.
Because there's two videos, April. There's the one I sent you where they look like they're all 50 years old with dyed hair.
Yes.
And then there's another one where they look younger. And it's like a tie-in where it like cuts to footage of Inspector Gadget. And they're also dancing with like women who look like they're naked because they're only wearing the gadget like trench coat and nothing else. And they're dancing with them. Anyway, Youngstown is like NSYNC, Backstreet
Boys.
Well,
I know my boy bands and I never heard of Youngstown.
Really?
No.
Okay. What's the Canadian boy band? Like there's a famous one, the video they're playing beach volleyball.
The Moffats were Canadian.
No.
I remember, I know the one you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking
before
about.
Before
Before
Four? Oh, yeah, that's what I'm thinking of, Before Four.
If you get down on me, I'll get down on you.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'll
what was
do
that in?
That you
Why
did
we watch
it?
Is that another Canadian content thing?
Well, I mean, I used to watch like the Hit List and stuff like that, which was just basically like, well, like Much Music. And
it's like three guys with frosted tips and the biggest necks you've ever
yeah,
seen.
Yeah, they're hideous looking. The Moffats actually were.
I wouldn't say that.
No, they are. The Moffats actually were like a family. It was like a one of those
one of
those musician families. They did a song called Misery, and it went. Misery is what I feel when you're not around, so why can't it heal?
Oh, but it's a woman singing, though.
No.
Oh, no.
The Moffats are a bunch of preteen boys.
Oh, yeah, I see. They have frosted tips, but they're long hair.
Yeah, long hair. Okay, Inspector Gadget, as I mentioned.
Oh, man, I'm rocking out to this now. Yeah, I remember this.
It's on Disney Plus, and
one of the guys looks like Kieran Culkin.
They all looked like that back then.
Yeah, back then.
And they look like Kieran Culkin now. Okay. This movie, I would not recommend it.
No.
I would say stay away. And the things that are good about it were very, very...
fleeting.
Yeah. Like, even Sherry O'Terry barely in this movie.
Yeah.
She's funny and her character was funny, but not enough. Even same with Dabney Coleman. And Penny and the Dog. Like, not just... All the things that were good were barely in this movie.
Yeah, Penny and the Dog, played by...
Michelle Trachtenberg.
Speaking of Joss Whedon.
And Goddard, yeah.
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 So probably work better as an animated movie.
Definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
Way better.
I feel there's a live action version, but like, I don't want that.
No,
it's
no.
fine.
I'd rather see, yeah.
I think there was a new CGI Inspector Gadget show.
Oh, probably.
I was looking at it and like, yeah. It's a Netflix show.
Oh.
Wait, Netflix?
What?
That's weird. Yeah, a Canadian CGI Annette 2015. Ooh, I'm sure it's hideous looking. released on Netflix. There was 4 seasons of it, but this is new season. So there's 52 episodes, 103 segments, as opposed to the 2 seasons of the original show, and it got like 100 plus episodes.
Oh,
that was how you,
yeah.
that was the style at the
did
time.
It back then.
I think I kind of remember this.
Do you think people have like fond memories of this?
I don't know. Well, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe one or two.
All right.
I don't know. It kind of looks like
let's,
the cartoon.
Let's wrap up.
Yeah,
so
let's wrap
if you want to email the podcast, we're at nosuchthingasabadmovie@gmail.com. And we're on Twitter and Instagram at nosuchthingpod. And our episodes are also on YouTube. So if you prefer to listen to us on there, sometimes we drop in the visual references onto those videos. If you're curious about that, particularly funny was the Theodore Rex episode where we talk about the wax figures. So you got to see those. you got to see those pictures, guys. It's really funny.
No pictures. No Edward Penis Hands.
Pictures this time. If you want to support us on Patreon, patreon.com/nosuchthingasabadmovie. If you're subscribed at the $5 level, you get a bonus episode every 2 weeks. And next episode is a little catch up where we just talk about a bunch of movies that we've seen lately, mostly horror stuff. That's always fun. And we answer a question from the audience every week as well. And if you want to find me, I'm on Twitter and Instagram at April at Mansky.
You can follow me at DeClueJ or Justin DeClue, basically any social media platform, and every week on the Very Fine Comic Book Podcast. So check that out. Subscribe. Thank you very much.
Good night.
You can
go. Gadget.
Go, Gadget, chill.
Go, Jacket.
You can follow me on Twitter, Sergeant Zima, SGTZIMA.
And that's it for this week. Thank you for joining us for the Go Gadget podcast.
Oof. When are we doing the second one?
Oh.
This French Stewart.
I'm telling you, watch 5 seconds of it
yeah.
and then get back to us.
If you go to Disney Plus, they give you an option of looking at a trailer, but it's just a
clip. Or killing yourself.
It's just a clip just from a clip. The movie, and it's really, really
And
bad.
I liked French Stewart on Third Rock from the Sun. We were just talking about Third Rock last week for the Flintstones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
And then his career basically also went nowhere. It didn't.
Well, I trust the man who directed Beverly Hills Chihuahua 2, the 2017 Woody Woodpecker film,
Ugh.
Chairman of the Board, Tooth Fairy 2, Jingle All the Way 2, Dr. Doolittle, Million Dollar Mutts from 2009. What a cursed filmography.
Well, you know what I say? I say it's up to you if you want to watch that, everybody.
You could win. Can't you a lottery and then force us to watch
it's
it?
It's true.
Oh, no,
next
God,
week's episode
no.
is going to be the lottery
why
episode.
Why did you remind them?
So,
why did I bring that up? Yeah, I'm sorry.
Please join the Patreon at the $2 level and up if you want to pick next week's movie. And that's it for this week. I'm April at Mansky.
I'm Justin DeGlo.
I'm Colin Cunningham.
And remember, there's no such thing as a bad movie.
Oh, gotcha.